The third parak is going to start out talking about Erechin, and then we are going to talk about other related areas. Mishnah Aleph starts out as follows with the topic sentence of the entire parak. Yesh ba'erechin lahakel ulahachmir. Sometimes we are lenient and sometimes we are machmir on erechin, and we'll see that there are a number of other areas on halacha that the same applies. And what this is talking about is we have certain times in the Torah that we have a set fee that something has to be paid. It could be a penalty, it could be the value of something, it could be that somebody caused damage to somebody, and instead of paying the actual value, the actual damage, the actual cost, the Torah says there's going to be a set fee, and accordingly, sometimes that is going to cause us to be lenient, which means if the actual value or damage was higher than that, the person is going to get away with paying less because they're going to pay the set fee. And sometimes we're going to be machmir because maybe the damage that was caused or the damage or the actual value is less than the set fee, and we're going to be machmir and require the person to pay the set fee required by the Torah. So that's going to be applicable when it comes to Erechin. We'll see that in the Sefer of the Mishnah. Now we're going to have other times that it applies. Number two, it applies b'stei achuza l'hakel l'achmir. We'll get to that in Mishnah Beis. Number three, which we'll get to in Mishnah Gimel, b'shor hamuad, if we have a shor that gore three times, shehemi sasaevin, and thereafter would have killed a non-Jewish slave, also l'hakel l'achmir. Another example, we'll see this in Mishnah Dala, Mishnah Hei, be'ones umefate umotzi shemra l'hakel l'achmir. We will mir tashem get to that shortly. So we're just going to go back to the first example, Erechin. Yesh be'erechin l'hakel l'achmir ketzad. So what does that mean? That we have Erechin, sometimes we're lenient, sometimes we're machmir. So the highest fee that we can pay when somebody says, I'm going to give the erech of B, or I'm going to give my own bear erech. For example, if somebody says, I'm going to give the value of a man and he's between 20 and 60 years old, that's going to be 50 shkalim. So echad she'erich et hana'a shebi Yisrael, whether somebody says, I'm going to give the erech of a beautiful, handsome person, a strong man who would have a very high value if he was sold on the slave market, besaka'or b'Yisrael, if somebody would give the erech of somebody who was incredibly ugly, very weak person, but the truth be told, they are both within the range of 20 to 60 years old, and they're both a man, they are going to have the same value because we are giving the erech. We have to pay the set fee. Nosen chamishim sela, we have to give 50 sela. And that is lahakel or lahachmir. Why is that lahakel? So for the very handsome person, you'd have to pay more than the 50 sela. And for the ugly person, you'd have, if we went by actual value, we'd pay less than the 50 sela. So we are machmir and mekel, depending on the situation, we're going to have to pay the set fee. On the other hand, if the person didn't say, I'm going to give the erech, and there we just have to pay the set fee, but the person said, v'imamar hare damav alai, the person says, I'm going to give the damav, which is the actual value of that individual or myself, then in that situation, nosen et shavya, you're going to give the actual value of that individual. Mishnah Beis is going on to the same concept that we saw in the beginning of the prior Mishnah, but b'stei achuza l'hakel l'achmir kesa. So when we said at the beginning of the prior Mishnah that this same concept applies b'stei achuza, what does that mean? So there are two types of ways that somebody can get a field. It can be a stei achuza, you receive it via inheritance, or stei mikna if you purchased it. Then this halacha, according to this Tana, is applicable to the stei achuza. We are also going to sometimes be mekel and sometimes be machmir because it's going to be a set fee. What does that mean? Echad amakdish becholas hamachoz ve'echad amakdish bepardot sebasti. This same thing applies if somebody had a field and he was makdish it. He consecrated it and it was a cheap field. So becholas hamachoz means it was around the city. A lot of people would walk over. It doesn't have a lot of value. Can't grow a lot. But somebody wants to redeem that now. So what value do you redeem it for? So that you're going to have to redeem it for the set fee. Whether you gave cheap land to the Beis Hamikdash and want to redeem it, and Ve'achad HaMakdish B'Pardesot Sebasti, whether you give a very expensive piece of land that was in area Sebasti where Herod built and he had beautiful gardens there, it's a very expensive land. Either way, if you're redeeming a certain amount of land, you're going to have to pay the set fee. Nosin Bezera Chomer Sorin Chamishim Sekel Kasef. You're going to have to pay 50 silver shkalim for each plot of land that is the amount of land that you would plant a Chomer of barley seeds, and that is approximately 75,000 square amas. So for every 75,000 square square amas that you want to redeem for the base of Mikdash, you would pay the same amount, the 50 shekel kesef, whether it's good land or bad land. So that's why it's la hachmir ulahakel. If it's great land, we're being lenient, you're going to be pay less than the actual value. And if it's terrible land, you're going to be machmir on you, you're going to have to pay more than the actual value. Ubistem mikna. However, if we have the second type of sada, it's a field that I purchased as opposed to received as an inheritance, and thereafterward I donated it to the Beis HaMikdash and I will redeem it, we're not going to go by a set fee. Nosen est shavya, you actually have to buy it. You have to get an appraisal and buy it for its actual value. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees on that. Rabbi Eliezer mer echatz de achuzav, echatz de mikna. He's of the view that both types of sada, whether you inherited it or you purchased it, you're going to redeem it for the set amount, the 50 shekel kesef. So if that's the case, ma ben ste achuz le ste mikna, so what's the difference between these two types of fields? Ela shebeste achuz nosen chomesh, when you want to redeem your ste achuz, the one that you inherited, you're going to have to add on a chomesh, an additional fifth, who ste mikna nosen chomesh, and the second type, you're not going to have to add on a chomesh. Mishnah Gimel continues, b'shor hamuad shehem isas ha'evel ha'akel l'achmir kesa, when we have that shor hamuad, it gored three people, and they're afterward killed a non-Jewish slave, sometimes we're going to be mekel, sometimes we're going to be achmir. What does this mean? Let's spell it out. Echad shehem isas ha'na'a shebavadim, whether that shor gored and he killed the most beautiful, handsome, expensive slave, asad ha'kor shebavadim, or if he killed the least expensive, a very cheap slave, either way, you're going to have to pay the set fee. Nosin shloshim sela, it's going to be 30 sela that you'd have to pay to the owner of that slave that killed. So it's the owner of that shor that did the goring is going to have to pay the set fee to the owner of that slave, whether the actual value is higher or lower. So that's the hakel l'achmir. Hamis ben Chorin, on the other hand, if that shor hamuad killed a free person, then you're not going to do it based on shloshim sela. You're going to do it nosin eshavya. You're going to have to do it on his actual value. What would this person have been sold for actually on the slave market? And you're going to have to pay that amount to the yorshim of the person who was nifter. On the other hand, chaval bezeh bezeh, if it wasn't the case that the shor hamuad killed somebody but wounded somebody, whether we wounded a slave or wounded a free person, mishalim nezek shalom, you're going to have to pay the full amount of damages that was caused by that person who got damaged. Mishnah Daled. We are now going back to our template. But onus of a mefata lahakel l'achmir kesa. When we talk about onus, somebody who violates a woman against her will, umefata, when he seduces her to voluntarily cohabit with him, lahakel l'achmir, same thing applies. We are going to sometimes be lenient, sometimes be machmir. Why? Because the Torah says when we have a situation of onus mefata, if she was a besula, she was a virgin and was a na'ara, that means she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half years old, there is a set fee regardless of how valuable, good a family she came from or bad a family she came from, you're going to have to pay the set fee. So echad sha'anes upita es agdola shebekuna, whether she is from the greatest of the family of the Kohanim, ve'esad haktanet, or if she's from the least prominent families of Klal Yisrael, either way, it doesn't matter. Nosen chamishim sela, you're going to have to pay the set fee. So that is going to be a set fee. The actual value may be higher, and then we're being makel, and maybe lower, and we're being machmir. It doesn't matter. You have to pay the set fee. Va'boshes uvkam. However, in addition to that knas, in addition to that 30 sela, that 50 sela knas, fine, there also are payments that are going to be variable. Boshes is the shame that she incurs, and pagam, the decrease in value if she was sold as a slave on the market. And how do we compute the boshes? Hakol lefi amivayesh amitbayesh. When it comes to boshes, it all depends on the person causing the busha. So if it's a lowly person, the busha is higher for the recipient of the embarrassment. And if the person is causing the embarrassment and is a more refined person, then the busha is going to be less. And also the misbayis, the person is being embarrassed. If it's a very significant, dignified person, the busha is higher, as opposed to somebody who is a lowlife, the busha is going to be less. So that's going to be variable. And also the pagam, the decrease in value, is going to be variable. What was that person worth before the onus of mefata on a slave market? And what are they worth after the slave market, and it's going to be the delta between the two. Mishnah Hey completes our going through the Mishnah Aleph, the topic sentence of Mishnah Aleph. Moti Shemra lahakel lahachmir ketzad. Moti Shemra is a situation that somebody was married and he makes a claim against his wife. He actually finds two witnesses, hires two witnesses to make a false claim against his wife that she committed adultery between erusin and nisuin, and the fee, the penalty, is 100 sela. It's double Mishnah Dalet when we had a situation of onus mefate. B'motzi shemra lahakel lachmir ketzad echad shoji shemra al gedolish bekuna. Whether he is motzi shemra makes his false claims against his wife, and she was from the greatest of families, the greatest of prominent families, kohani val ketanah shebi Yisrael, or if she was on the lowest families, it doesn't matter either way. Nosin mea sela, regardless of the social status, you're going to have to pay 100 sela. So that is lahakel lachmir. If she had a higher value, because she's from a great family, we're being lenient and you're getting away paying 100 seller. On the other hand, if she's from a lowly family and her value is less, we are being machmir and you're going to have to pay more than the actual value. But either way, there's an interesting and very important statement that the Mishnah says, comparing Mishnah Dalet, when the fee was 50 for Onis and Mefate, which was an act that was done against the Na'ara, against the young girl, and here in Mishnah, hey, we're talking about slander, Motzi Shema, there was no act, but verbally the person made false accusations against his wife. Nimtza Ha'omer Befiv, when this claim in Mishnah, hey, he said he verbally made this claim against his wife. Yes, I mean, Osa Maisa is more than Mishnah Dalet, where the Onus and Mefate didn't act against the Na'ara. And in other words, we're seeing here that words can kill, and words can actually, in certain situations, be worse than a terrible act. Shechein, or there's another gear, so Vechein, we saw find the same thing, Matzino, Shalom Nechtam, Gzardin, Shalav Asenu, Be Midbar, Ela Lashonara, the Gzardin to stay 40 years and die out in the Midbar, that was after many times Klal Yisrael tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were challenging to deal with, but what was the time that the Gzardin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says enough and enough is enough, and I'm going to be punishing you, and you're going to have to die out in the Midbar? That's when the Maraglim told Lashon Hara, and Klal Yisrael accepted it. So again, that's like Mishnah, hey, the beginning of Mishnah, hey, that was the blasphemy, the slander, just like the husband slandered the wife. We had the Meraglim slander Eretz Yisrael, and that caused the plague and the punishment against Klal Yisrael, that they wouldn't go into the land of Israel. Shenemar v'yanasuo si zeh eser panim v'lo shama b'koli. You have challenged me this 10 times. You didn't listen to me, but it's on this zeh. It's on this very one, the one when the Meraglim slandered Klal Yisrael, that the real gzardin against Klal Yisrael was really instituted. It was the slander and not the other times.